White System and tune in to the Per White System at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Christmas Eve 2018 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, we're going to continue with our RadioArian programming all through the Christmas week. This is being pre-recorded because we're not going to look at current news stories. We're actually going to take a look back through the year at what's been happening over 2018. It's been quite an exciting year. We've had good things happening, such as Matteo Salvini being elected in Italy and proving that it is possible to stop the invasion of your country while still being a member of the EU. And of course, we've also had some particularly savage attacks against nationalism by the state, particularly in Britain. I'm thinking here of young people who foolishly remained connected, albeit tenuously, to National Action and ended up being jailed for being terrorists. So we've had good things happen and we've had bad things happen this year. And we started off in January, and the main news story in January, and this was quite funny at the time, was Henry Bolton, the newly elected leader of UKIP, being kicked out of UKIP. And don't forget, Henry Bolton was Nigel Farage's candidate. He was Nigel Farage's man, which is why he got voted in. And it turned out that he was really just a total swindler. The guy was married to a woman roughly his own age, had children with her. And he ended up divorcing her and getting together with this girl that was much younger than him, about 20 years younger than him, that was a member of UKIP, pretty little blonde thing, a model. I believe she was a music journalist, a rock journalist. And the mainstream media somehow managed to get hold of private messages between her and a friend of hers where she was expressing her disgust at Prince Harry getting together, getting engaged to Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle, of course, is mixed race. So this is effectively giving the royal seal of approval to miscegenation and the destruction, not just of the white race's heritage, not just the destruction of the nation's heritage, but the destruction of the royal heritage as well. Prince Harry is supposed to be blue-blooded. Of all people, it's the monarchy that should be engaging in arranged marriages and only marrying others of blue blood, certainly not marrying mixed-race individuals with negroid blood. So a lot of people weren't very happy about this. You wouldn't have known that from looking at the mainstream media reports. Of course, they were saying absolutely how wonderful it was and how the monarchy had finally come into the 21st century and were embracing diversity, and how wonderful it would be at the palace to have vibrancy at the palace. And of course, it's turned out to be nothing like that. She's an absolute out-and-out feminist. She's already broken all the protocols of not having anything to do with political issues by being quite outspoken about her feminism and her anti-racism and her LGBTQ agenda. She's quite embarrassed, the palace, actually. And Henry Bolton's girlfriend wasn't very happy about this. And she expressed her opinion that she wasn't very happy about this. She also expressed the opinion that she herself would not consider going out with a Negro. What's wrong with that? She said that she found Negroes ugly. And it's quite natural to find the other races ugly. Nature created us as different races. Nature wants to keep us separate. So you would think that it would be quite natural for us to find the other races ugly as just a normal natural protection against us interbreeding with them. There's nothing wrong with finding the other races natural, that ugly. That is the natural position to have. When you look at children's response, white children's response to seeing Negroes, they're quite frightened of them. It's a natural instinct that is there to keep us propagating our own line. There is something that's known as gene similarity theory. And what that says is that you will pick out a partner or a friend that has similar hereditary genes to you, which means that you will pick out partners and friends that are similar to your own family. This is so that we replicate ourselves. So you could go back 500 years and look at the Welsh people, and the Welsh people would look exactly the same as the Welsh people do today. And you would find people probably in your own family line that looked very similar to you. And the only way that that could happen is if we found other races to be unattractive. It's quite natural. It's a natural instinct. She expressed this instinct, and of course she expressed it in rather vulgar language. But there's nothing wrong with her actual, the way that she felt. What was wrong was the fact that the mainstream media took her private messages and made them public knowledge. And Henry Bolton, being the coward that he is, and being so keen for celebrity exposure, he threw his girlfriend under the bus. He said, well, we're going to have to split up, of course, and I'd like to still be leading UKIP, and I distanced myself from her comments. And what he really should have been saying is, how dare the mainstream media make her private conversations public? It's none of the public's business what my girlfriend's views are on the monarchy. But he didn't. He showed himself to be an absolute coward that put his fame and his celebrity above his girlfriend. And she appeared to go along with this. And of course, she backtracked and tried to show that she wasn't a racist and she was anti-racist. But the mainstream media didn't pay any attention to it or any of this at all. And they totally trashed her. And when it came up to Henry Bolton defending his leadership, he was kicked out of UKIP. Thankfully, because we then got Gerard Batten in, who has done a wonderful job since then, an absolutely wonderful job. I really can't fault him as a civic nationalist. And he's even spoken up about how it's so wrong that children are constantly just taught about World War II and how bad the Nazis are. And there should be some balance and they should be taught about the horrors of communism. And I can't speak highly enough of Gerard Batten. So it was great that Henry Bolton got kicked out of UKIP. There are reports of him just being a swindler, basically. It looks like Nigel Farage promoted him because he wanted to destroy UKIP for some reason. 2018 has been the year where we've really discovered Farage's true colours. But also in January had another rather entertaining story. The fashion clothing company H&M produced a jumper which said "the coolest monkey in the jungle" on it. Now, white kids would love to wear that. Like, white kids love to be called monkeys. It's quite a common phrase, "you cheeky monkey," is often said to young children. But apparently Negroes don't like this. Negroes see this as it's being racist if you call Negroes monkeys. Now, why is that? Why is it that it's racist to call Negroes little monkeys, but it's not racist to call white kids little monkeys? Could it be because Negroes do actually resemble monkeys by any chance? I think this is confirmation of that fact, just the way that they get so wound up about it, it proves that in actual fact they do look like monkeys. And the outrage was massive. Negroes went absolutely crazy about this. In South Africa, they literally started attacking clothing stores and smashing up clothing stores because of this jumper. Because in the picture, that was illustrating this sweatshirt with the coolest monkey in the jungle, it was put on a little black kid. Obviously, the black kid's mother didn't care about it. She couldn't care less. But the organized Negro community went absolutely wild about it. And H&M, I don't know if they've actually lost any money over this. I really don't think that Negroes actually spend that much money. I mean, it's quite crazy the way that we have now have adverts that are targeted at Negroes when the Negro pound really probably accounts for about 1% of the economy in Great Britain and elsewhere. They're not high earners. They don't tend to have high power jobs. A lot of them don't tend to have jobs at all. They tend to just be on welfare. So why is it that every other advert is targeted at Negroes? It's because they want us to accept them as being the same as us. And of course, they also like to promote miscegenation. Whenever you see a white woman, it will always be with a Negro man. So that was a couple of interesting stories there that we had in January. And we often see these mistakes being made by these fashion companies. They do something that is entirely innocent, but the organized Negro community jump up and go absolutely wild about it. I mean, just recently we've also had Prada with these little figures that they made that happened to be black in color, and they had exaggerated mouths. And the Negroes went absolutely wild about that. I mean, they keep complaining that they don't see themselves represented anywhere. They don't see themselves represented in film or TV. And yet when people create art that actually includes the characteristics of the Negro, such as the over-large lips and the black skin, that's not good enough for them either. And they rampage and riot and protest and scream and screech, obviously led by the Jews in doing so. And the same went on here, back there in January, with H&M, with his coolest monkey in the jungle. And it was very funny to see at the time. Also at the time, we had Donald Trump calling the countries in Africa shitholes, which is rather vulgar language to use, but nobody wants to live in them, quite clearly, because half of Africa has admitted that it wants to come to Europe in recent polls. So the BBC and everyone else was complaining about Donald Trump saying this. How dare he say that these countries are shitholes and it's because the people in them have ruined their countries. And at the same time, we're being treated to images of Negroes in Africa just trashing the clothing stores. And this is one thing that Negroes are good at, is trashing things. They do like to set fire to wherever it is that they are living. And this regularly happens, Baltimore, Croydon, all the time in Africa. They do just destroy whatever it is that you give them. They are responsible themselves for destroying Africa. And we tried to colonize the place. We tried to bring infrastructure to them. And they don't maintain the infrastructure. They just destroy it. They don't appear to understand what a litter bin was created for. I guess they're just used to throwing the remains of what they've been eating in the dirt, and it probably just rots away where it's a naturally created substance such as fruit or vegetables. But when it comes to using man-made products like plastic, that isn't so. But they can't seem to override their instincts to just throw stuff on the floor. And wherever they live, it's just a huge pile of trash. But anyway, this program isn't about attacking Negroes. And I don't think I am attacking them there. I'm just pointing out politically incorrect facts that nobody else will talk about. In February, Darren Osborne was tried for terrorism, various accounts of terrorism. Darren Osborne was the Welshman who, after having too much to drink, hired a van, drove to London, drove around for a bit, then went to the Finsbury Park Mosque early in the early hours of the morning and ran a Muslim over. He may have injured a couple of others, and the one that he actually ran over died of a heart attack. Darren Osborne was convicted of terrorism, and he was given a massive 43 years for this. And it wasn't taken into account that there had just been lots of children maimed, lots of people killed in a Manchester suicide bombing at a children's concert. It wasn't taken into account that on Westminster Bridge, another Muslim had stabbed lots of people and gone crazy. In actual fact, because these terrorist incidents had happened, it seemed to actually increase the sentence that was given to Darren Osborne. You would think that they would be inclined to go lenient on him for this because of these dreadful things that had just happened, and to understand that he was responding to that. The man himself had learning difficulties. He had a string of criminal convictions behind him in his past. He was obviously delusional, but it was these terrorist attacks that set him off. And he said that in his letter that he left behind, explaining what he was doing. But the mainstream media and the judge involved in the case tried to blame Tommy Robinson for it. They tried to blame Tommy Robinson for it because he had recently subscribed to Tommy's Twitter feed. And what was on Tommy's Twitter feed that was so shocking? Well, just the same news that the mainstream media cover. It may have been news from CNN rather than the BBC, but it was the same news stories that he was highlighting. It's only been recently, actually, that he's really started covering news stories that the mainstream media doesn't. I mean, it's like what we do here at Radio Aryan. We look through the mainstream media news and we pick out the news that's going to be of interest to nationalists, and we go through it and we point out the connections that the mainstream media refuses to do. The fact that these attacks on white people, they're not random attacks. They're not random at all. There is a pattern to it. It's blacks that are carrying out these attacks on whites. 98% of grooming gangs are Muslim. This isn't something that happens with white people. And we point these facts out. Tommy Robinson points these facts out. But we certainly don't say to people, go out and carry out terrorist attacks. We say to people, stay within the law. Stay peaceful. Stay within the law. Don't engage in criminal property damage. Don't engage in violent reprisals for this. The only way to change this is to change things lawfully. Yet they still blame Tommy Robinson for this, and they went massively hard on his sentence, giving him 43 years. And the guy was a fantasist. The story that he came up with for what actually went on is laughable. It's something that you would imagine a 5 or 6 year old telling their parents as to why they had done something wrong. It's quite obviously unbelievable. I do feel sorry for the man because it looked like he had no help whatsoever. Even his own solicitor didn't want to help him. And he's been completely demonized in the media. I do wonder whether he'll actually last that 43 years in jail, or whether the Muslims that are rapidly filling up the prisons will actually take him out by then. Also in February, we had the Beast from the East in Britain. We had freak cold weather, which has really hit the farmers hard, because we had an extremely hot summer as well. We had lots of snow in places that we wouldn't normally have snow. And we also had the Winter Olympics in Pyongyang at the same time, which is really the white Olympics, because it's mainly just white people that take part. It's an absolute pleasure to watch the Winter Olympics and to see white people that have worked all year worked for 4 or 5 years perfecting their athleticism, perfecting the art of what they do. And it's also much, much more individual than things like football or team sports. It's something where the actual sporting achievement rests entirely on that one individual. So that was great to watch the Winter Olympics. It always is. And then also in February, we were told that the British people were descended from a Negro. We were told that we were descended from somebody called Cheddar Man. And this was portrayed as if this was a new discovery. Cheddar Man had been known about for decades. And there were images of Cheddar Man that had been created before. And they tried to make him look like an ancestor of a white man. They certainly didn't make him look like a Negro. And this Cheddar Man creature actually resembled Meghan Markle in some ways, as was pointed out. And The Guardian and Channel 4 were all desperate to promote this, that apparently Negroes had been in Britain all this time and Negroes were our ancestors. And then some actual real scientists came forward and said, well, this is actually a load of nonsense. This is all just fantasy. And this is just based on certain gene sequences that could mean that somebody had black skin if they were found in a Negro, or it could mean that they had blue eyes if it was found in the ancestor of a white man. So this was all just politically correct social engineering, trying to promote the idea that white people came from Negroes, trying to promote the idea that Negroes have always been around in Britain. And also this year we saw the BBC putting out animation that tried to claim that Negroes were around in Roman times, they were around in Anglo-Saxon times, they were around in medieval times. It's all a complete load of nonsense. I believe it was Queen Elizabeth I got really quite annoyed that there were a few Negroes that had turned up in the country, and she got rid of them all. And then round about the beginning of the 20th century, when we had lots of trade via the ships in places like Liverpool and places that were port cities, they did have a few Negroes there, a few Chinamen, but they were working on the boats. They would only be there for a week or so, and then they would get back on their ship and they would head off to India or Jamaica or wherever it was that they were going. There was never communities of Negroes that lived in Britain. And the BBC have tried to push the idea that it was Negroes that actually built Hadrian's Wall. Back at that time, back at the time when Rome had Carthage and North Africa, it was in the hands of Rome. It was in the hands of white people. The Vandals were in North Africa. There are records in British history of the Vandal King coming over from Africa and settling in the Midlands. And this is now put across that, oh, this was an African king. This was a tribal chief. This was a Negro with a tusk through his nose and a plate through his lip. No, it wasn't. It was a white man. Africa, North Africa, was held by whites. It was part of the Roman Empire. It was nothing to do with the Negroes. The Negroes wouldn't have even been allowed into it. If you remember, there was a signpost that the Egyptians put up, the white Egyptians. Any Negro that steps past this point that is not owned by a master will be killed. The Negroes were used as slaves. They weren't seen as citizens. And they certainly weren't in Britain building Hadrian's Wall. And the BBC chose to portray the white man in the cartoon as a pickpocket. The African built Hadrian's Wall. The mixed race African was one of the chiefs of the legions. And the portrayal of the white man was that he was a thief. Completely the opposite way around to reality, which is, of course, what we expect from the BBC. Whenever they are portraying rapists, they will always be white. Whenever they are portraying stabbings, it will be a white man with a knife, and it will be the Negro that gets stabbed. It's totally divorced from reality, what you see on the BBC. It's all programming and social engineering to get us to put up with what the government is doing to us. So Cheddar Man was shown to be a hoax, basically. But there are still people that go along with it, even though the scientific world distanced themselves from it and said that it was a hoax. And then we get to March. And in March, we suddenly had a shock that there had been a Novichok poisoning. Novichok was this nerve agent that was developed by the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union fell apart, the recipe for making Novichok was made public so that the world could prepare themselves for poisoning like this. And this ex-spy for Russia that had been swapped with Russian spies in a spy swap that had been living in Britain, him and his daughter appeared to have been poisoned by this Novichok. Immediately, the government announced that it could only have been Russia that did this, never mind the fact that the recipe was actually made public and it could have been anyone actually that made this, any chemistry expert that had the right protective equipment to protect himself from actually being poisoned by it could have made it. But they still blamed Russia for this instantly without any evidence, and they refused to work with Russia to try and identify how this had happened. So, of course, it was then used as an excuse to expel diplomats, implement sanctions, and we still don't know exactly what went on with that. To suggest that the Russian Secret Service would be so irresponsible and so incompetent as to fail to actually kill their target and leave a trail of poisonings and leave a bottle there in Salisbury, it's really just not believable that their Secret Service would be so incompetent. And you can also contrast that with the killing of Khashoggi in Turkey by Saudi Arabia, in which nothing's actually been done about. And there was a direct link to the Saudi Arabian Secret Service. It was carried out in a Saudi Arabian embassy. And there's links to the Prince of Saudi Arabia, and there's been no sanctions. There's been no expelling of diplomats. Everything's fine with the Prince of Saudi Arabia. And I do have to wonder what the meaning was of Putin high-fiving the Prince of Saudi Arabia at a recent meeting of all the heads of state. I think it was a financial forum. And he high-fived the Prince of Saudi Arabia. So he's still wondering what that means, whether there was whether that's any proof of sinister intent, whether it's saying, well done, you got away with it, or maybe it was just a friendly high-five from Putin and the Prince of Saudi Arabia. Maybe somebody else may drop by the chat room and give us some further information on that, because it is hard to work out just what was meant by that. Whether it was a pat on the back for killing a Saudi Arabian dissident. You know, it could have been something sinister, but why do it? Why do it? It did seem strange to me that Putin would do something like that when both of them have been accused of killing one of their own citizens. To seem rather incriminating for Putin to be doing that. Maybe there is another reason. As I say, if you can think of another reason, let us know. But also in March, as I said earlier, we had the Italian elections, and Matteo Salvini and the Lega Nord were in a draw, basically, with the Five Star Movement. The Five Star Movement are leftists, and Lega Nord are ethno-nationalists. And instead of the leftists forming a coalition with the other leftists that had lost, they formed a coalition with the ethno-nationalists, which was absolutely wonderful news. And Matteo Salvini was made the first minister, and straight away he started enacting all the policies that they had campaigned upon. And he's now become the most popular politician in Italy. The Italians love him. He's managed to cut out 99% of immigration to Italy. He's managed to stop within a year. He's managed to do more than Donald Trump has managed in 2 years now. Matteo Salvini has been the saviour of Italy, and really does give encouragement and hope that we may see more coalitions forming between nationalists and leftists in the future, rather than the leftists getting together to keep the nationalists from getting any power. Because this shows that we can work together, left and right can work together, if they're going to be putting the interests of their people ahead of everything else. And of course, that's what nationalism is. It just means your people come first. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this first look at 2018. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow on Christmas Day with more looking back over the year. So until then, God bless, hail victory, and Merry Christmas.